Hey, it's Justine Thomas, and it's been so long since I've been here, but it feels so good to be in the studio back again. It feels so good to have you guys in the studio as well. With me, special guest today, Guys Without Ties. So, yay, let's hear it for Dale and DJ. We have a few more coming, I guess.
Yes, we do have a few.
So.
We're just glad to be here.
Well, there's a reason why we're here tonight. And let's be honest, you guys have crossed a milestone, 30 years in the business. Oh my God. Congratulations to you guys.
And didn't seem like that long, but yes, it is.
Well, I've got questions and you guys have answers.
Okay.
This is going to be an interesting session. So people pull up popcorn, pull up a beer. Penguin City. How about that? All right. So tell me, this was your brainchild, right? This whole band.
There were three of us
that
had the brainchild. At the time, we were in a golf league. None of us really good golfers, but we enjoyed ourselves. But we started thinking, you know, we ought to get a band back together. And practicing in the basement beat the heck out of looking for lost golf balls in the woods. And we started on a Tuesday evening when the golf league was, and just kept on going from there.
So
some years ago.
How did you come up with the name Guys Without Ties?
That was my daughter, Amy. She was 11 or 12 years old watching MTV, and she had just seen a Men Without Hats video.
Okay.
And at the time, I always wore a necktie to work. So she said, Men Without Hats? Guys Without Ties? And we said, it's as good as any name, so we stuck with it.
It works.
Yeah.
Should we tell them our first name?
Yeah. Yes.
We had a first name?
We did. We played a gig with that name, too.
We played for a block party down by Dale's house.
Yeah.
And we called ourselves the Brassels. And someone said, that doesn't sound like it's going to fly because it's too close to. So we said, let's go with Guys Without Ties.
So we changed to Guys Without Ties, yeah.
Thank Amy for that. She does come up with a few. Kudos to you, Amy. So tell me, through the years, there's got to be so many good stories that we need to touch upon. And the first, you were talking about a couple of them off mic, and I'm like, we got to save these. We got to save these because once we turn the camera on. So we need to start unraveling some of those stories that you have. And I think one of the good ones you were talking about was underwear.
Not mine.
Nor mine.
We played at a place called Dick's Last Resort that was up in the flats in Cleveland. And the place was always filled with bachelor parties and bachelorette parties. And this one bachelorette approached the stage and asked our guitar player if she could have his underwear, because they were on a scavenger hunt. And he asked Dale for his pocket knife, and Dale obliged him and Russ reached into his pants and
cut his underwear off and handed it to her.
Gave him to the young lady.
She really didn't know what to do.
She probably didn't.
Yeah. It was, Jonathan.
Oh, we have more.
Jonathan.
Hello, Jonathan. One of
Jonathan Wallace.
Jonathan Wallace.
One of our guitar players, yes.
Find a seat, you won't blend in. At least he's not blending in with his red shirt.
Right, yeah, that would
be a good time to that, yeah. No.
Yeah. That person would do that.
I know.
So through the course of the different events and different venues and different halls that you've played, what's been some of your favorite places that you can remember that maybe aren't around anymore?
Yeah, a lot of those.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been.
DJ, what about you?
Comes and goings.
Geez, I think probably one of my favorites was we played the Ohio State Fair. Didn't
yeah,
we played the Ohio, and the only reason it was one of my favorites is because we got a green room.
Yeah,
and that was nice. Actually, a lot of my favorite places are because they were good crowds or because they gave us a place to chill before or after the concert. there was another place. There's a hotel we used to play at where they used to give us free rooms, which was really nice because we would end at like midnight or 1 a.m. so we wouldn't get out of there until 2-3. So it's nice just to head up to a hotel room and sleep. That was always awesome.
That was fun. That was California Palms, I think.
That was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I always liked playing the, the North Side Doctors?
Oh, yeah.
Christmas party.
It was the butler. Doctors would have a Christmas party, and they'd hired us. And we played that, 5 years in a row or something?
Yeah.
And we set up at the Butler, and they had really good food and international food. And that was a lot of fun. You're right.
Yeah. That was the first time I had shark.
Ah.
Yes.
And we'd even play a few Christmas songs in that, and that was a fun.
That was, well, I shouldn't say one of my first gigs, but, you know, I hadn't been with the band that long.
And... Yeah. Well, I remember one of the ones that we did was downtown Youngstown here on St. Patrick's Day when, had the tent? What was the?
One of the restaurants and bars that isn't
across
O'Donnell's, right. Yeah. O'Donnell's had this big tent. St. Patrick's Day was on a Sunday that year, and they said, come on down and play at 3:00. I said, okay, who's going to be there at 3:00, you know? So sure enough, we get down and we play the first set, and there's some people there and all that, and then we have to stop for the Irish dancers to play. So it's getting around 5 or so, and we come back. It's absolutely jammed, and everybody is drunk and dancing, and, you know, when we're...
What's wrong with that?
Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with that is when you're in a bar and there's a bunch of drunken people and you're on stage, you say, you know, I could probably convince them not to start a fight. But when you're in a tent with that many people, I said, man, I don't know that I could do that. Yeah. We were lucky, though, that everybody behaved themselves.
That's a good time.
Honestly, the thing that really makes a show is the crowd. Like, mm-hmm. We do our best to get the crowd excited and make sure everyone's having fun. But when it's a good crowd, my God, it's
you feel the energy best. On the stage.
Yeah. My second gig with Guys Without Ties was the 20th anniversary.
Party.
So I've been in the band for about 10 years. And
it was a fundraiser for Hospice of the Valley at Mr. Anthony's.
That's what it was.
And so we got a bunch of people together, and one of the doctors at Hospice was a guitar player. And had Russ just left us then?
Yeah.
So we had connections with Hospice. And so he came in and sat in. We had a bunch of people sit in. We had a whole 8-piece horn, 6-piece horn section or something.
Something like
that. And that was our 20th anniversary. So we're trying to do the same thing for our 30th anniversary, our celebration on August 21st.
August 21st at the Southern Park Mall?
Yeah, Southern Park Mall at Double Bogies.
So what time?
2:00.
2:00.
2:00 in the afternoon. So that's Sunday?
Yep. Sunday afternoon. Well, we picked a Sunday because we figured all the musicians we did it Saturday night, nobody would come.
Well, I don't know about that. You guys have a huge following.
No, I meant musician wise.
Oh, well,
we want to get all the former members that we can to come back with us.
So we're going to try not to have everybody on stage at the same time.
I don't think we can fit 75 people.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we've had over the course of 30 years. So we actually we have a 3-page list of all of the people that were actually in the band. Where do we even start? Dr. Tom Labruzzi?
Right. He was our founding member with us, and he lasted until golfer. He got married.
He was with us last Saturday. He came in.
Sat in. He comes in once and sits in.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, he more or less left us after he got married. So
he went on paternity leave.
Yeah, there you go. Never came back.
I'm currently a band teacher, and I have his daughter in my band currently. So it's a really fun full circle kind of thing. Yeah. So he is currently a band parent and a pretty good one too.
That's good. There's a John Hagen?
Right. Running down this list, our other trombone player we had for a few years was John Hagen. Mm-hmm. We get everybody from YSU basically is where we kind of start with, but not at least the horn section. And one time we were playing at Geneva on the Lake, and we're coming home, and John had got a ride with us. My wife Cecilia's with us, so we're driving home, and we're going down Route 45 for some reason instead of Route 11, and right around Jefferson or something, I don't know, I get pulled over by the police, and I said, "Oh, your speed." He says, "Man," I told him, I just got off work, you know, come on, give me a break. And work? What do you mean work? I said, I'm in a band. I just got done playing. See all the gear in the back? I'm a sleeping trombone player. And he goes, yeah, okay. He let me go. He gave me a warning. So I said, all right. And Cecilia's not sure to be angry with me because I talk my way out of it. So we're driving down. We get down into Champion. And as we're turning the bend by the high school, there's a sign to speed limit 45. She says, hey, speed limit's 45. I said, nobody goes 45 here, but I slowed down. No. As soon as I turn a corner, Champion Police pulls me over.
Oh, no.
He walks up. He says, did you know the speed limit was 45? I go, yes, sir, officer. I was very aware of speed limits. I just got stopped up in Ashtabula County today. He looked at me and he said, just go. Got off twice in one night. Say was doubly angry that, wow.
And now that that story is out there, every cop in the county is going to be looking.
And that was quite a while ago. So, and then after John, did John fight Mark Fulmer for us? I don't know. The trombone section has been kind of reoccurring. So. They find their replacement for us or something. But yeah. We had Mark Vollmer after John, and Mark had been a vocal student at Baldwin Wallace, and he transferred to Youngstown and became a trombone and education major. He went on to be principal of Mooney for a while.
Nice.
And a few other things.
Very nice.
But boy, he had a good voice and a good player. And we even had him on keyboard a couple times. And how long? I don't know. 5 years, 7 years? He was with us quite a while.
Probably around 7 years.
It was fall of 2011 when he approached me.
Okay, there we go. That's where it came down. So he found you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We were both members of all places, the St. Columba Choir. Because when I just started college, my mom made me join the St. Columba Choir so that she knew I was going to church.
Oh.
And Mark.
Hey.
Oh,
is Leah here?
Are you here?
Yes. Leah Nesbitt, our former singer, now on the road with the Prince Project.
I'm parking in front of the Plainville Casino in Plainville, Massachusetts. So if you give me a minute, I'll be able to more fully participate.
All right.
I'm very, very excited about.
Pay attention there.
Didn't know we could zoom in. Jeez.
Yeah. You would still be on your couch.
In
that's
the car.
That's why we didn't tell you. No, the bottom line of the story is Mark, he found me at rehearsal. He's just like, you play trombone too? Like, yeah, I guess. And he goes, all right, you're in this band, Guys Without Ties. And the only thing I knew about Guys Without Ties at the time was I had this vague memory of being like 5 or 6 years old and seeing them at Boardman Park. That's
oh,
the
no
only
kidding.
Thing I knew.
Oh, no kidding.
So here I am, 10 years after that.
Still playing with the old fogies.
Yeah. Now, do people, like, how do you get your people? They come up to you and say, hey, are you looking for? I play this, I
not
play
usually.
That, not usually, or?
Yeah, no, haven't had anyone do that.
Dave Pounce was the only one.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a keyboard player, all around great musician, Chris Eldridge. He played keyboards, I played trumpet, trombone, flugelhorn. He sang, he wrote arrangements, he was great, but his health was a little bit worse and starting to fail. So we were playing at Up a Creek one night, and he used to bring an incredible amount of equipment. We kept saying, cut it back. Don't bring so much. You know, no, it's got to sound this way. So finally, at that night, he says, I can't do it anymore. Oh. And at that night, when he said that, there was an old friend of ours, Dave Pounds, who goes by Dave Walgreen on stage. And he said, oh, really? Looking for somebody? And bang, he came in the next week.
Right place at the right time.
Exactly.
So do you tell why it's you that you need?
We've done that a few times when
we posted when you were there. Notices on their boards and things.
Oh, okay,
who's the dean?
Yeah, temporary dean.
Oh, are you talking about? I know
trombone player, wasn't he?
Oh, DePoy.
No,
DePoy was the dean when I was there. So.
No, anyway,
Mike Crist,
liked us and knew about us, and he would grease the skids somewhat. And
sure.
So when we were looking after Jonathan had left us, we needed a guitar player. And he was still there, I think. And he called the guitar department and said, look, you will tell all your students this announcement that they're looking for a guitar player. So and as soon as he did that, Tyler called us up, and Tyler came in with us.
I was going to say, I found you guys on an ad on Craigslist.
Is that where we came? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't remember. I think
I first saw you guys in like 2000. You're doing some Chicago stuff, and you know, sounded really good. And I was like, man, I'd love to be in a band like this. And I tried out, and I'm like, I'm never getting in this band.
And look, here you are.
Yeah. Yes. Faked my way through an audition, and yeah.
I might have the most interesting story of everybody, because I got a phone call from Dale, a person I had never met in my life before. And I'm shopping at the mall Christmas time with my mom, and my phone rings, and it's like a Warren number. So I go, should I answer it? And she said, yeah, sure. So I did, and it's Dale Janis. And he says, hi, my name is Dale Janis, and I'm in the band Guys Without Ties. And you were recommended to give you a call from Mark Tirabassi, the owner of Hubbard Music. Yeah. We said, hey, we're looking for a singer. Jim Bickley, I think at the time, had mentioned it to Mark. And Mark was like, hey, I know a local girl. You should give her a call. And that was my indoctrination to Guys Without Ties. And I showed up to Dale's house for practice on a Tuesday, and the rest was history.
Yep.
Yep. And you were with us how long, Leah?
About 8 years.
Eight years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Yep. So do you enjoy where you're at now, or do you want to come back to Guys Without Ties?
No pressure. I'll tell you, right now I am in Plainville, Massachusetts, because I am playing a show here with my band tomorrow night, The Prince Project, which is a Prince and the Revolution tribute band, which has taken me all over the eastern side of the country, east of the Mississippi. But in November, we were in Arkansas two shows. So it's been pretty interesting. We were in Jupiter, Florida for Easter. So I love the guys, and I still consider all of the guys friends and family. Jonathan is still one of my best friends to this day. Hey, John. And I love Dale and Bill and DJ, everybody sitting there, and any chance I get to connect with them and say hi and fill in on stage, I love getting that chance, because it's like walking down memory lane. It's getting to hang out with my friends again, and traveling is fun. Coming home is fun too.
It sure is. It sure is. Do you have any good stories to tell?
Dale's talking about St. Patrick's Day on the plaza, and yep, there were a lot of drunk people there, and it was great. The crowd was into it, and we did a lot of really great. When I was with the band, we were doing this thing where we were taking current hits and we were putting horns to them, or taking classic, unique 80s songs and putting horns to them. And I remember that Dale used to bring a giant liter of Absolute vodka with him, full of water.
Oh, Dale.
And he has a little holder on his stand for the Absolute bottle that he fills with water. But I mean, it's pretty rock and roll for somebody to be sitting there maybe possibly drinking nothing but vodka on stage, and this drunk kid who had been skanking in the front row the whole time, sweating.
Yep, I remember that.
Reaches over and grabs Dale's bottle of vodka and sips it and puts it back, and then ran away and continued skanking and moshing all over the people on the St. Patrick's Day Plaza. That was a good one.
Yeah.
He's probably drunk enough to think it was still vodka.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My days of having.
DJ, I think we said that at the time.
Yeah.
I remember being at the 20th anniversary party. I think I was a member of the band at that time.
You were.
And I remember Melinda came, and we sang with Dr. Medved, I think was his name. Yep. And he was a good time. And so were some of his office staff. They were great as well. And let's see. I mean, there's a lot of good ones. I remember a few shows with Brian Allman that were pretty fun, who played trombone at the time, off and on with us. We traveled to some pretty interesting places when I was with the group, but not as far as you guys are traveling now. Like, you guys are going to the Honey Honey place in Maryland, and you've been to the Ohio State Fair, and I never went to any of those places. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And I did always look forward to the Northside Doctors Christmas party at the Butler. The food spread was always the best that we had anywhere. One New Year's Eve, at the time I was a news producer for Channel 21. I worked the midnight shift working on the morning show, and I was like, please, 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 pretty please, can I play the New Year's Eve party with my band, because New Year's Eve was on like a Tuesday or something. Mm-hmm. And my bosses were like, yeah, that's fine, but come in after. And I had to put on the 6 a.m. show. Well, that was 10 years ago, because that was the year that I had started seeing my fiance. We're getting married next month, and all of our friends and family came. Thank you. All of our friends and family came to that show, and we bought a couple tables at the place in Austintown, the Saxon Club.
Saxon Club. Yep.
Yeah, we played there quite a few years in a row, and my grandparents were there. My fiance's husband or father was there, they all have since passed since these shows, and we have nothing but great memories of everybody. Except for me, because I was performing, getting trashed and dancing all over the dance floor at the Saxon Club. My fiance's cousin dropped a case of glass bottles of Bud Light, and they broke and spilled all over the floor. And my mother-in-law, who's with me now in the passenger seat, she's traveling with me in Massachusetts. She got so drunk that night, she had the worst hangover of her life the next day. And my fiance and I actually said I love you to each other for the first time at midnight at that show. And we had been together probably 5 or 6 months at the time. And it was a fantastic night, and I went to work afterwards, and that was kind of a bummer. I locked myself out of my car one time at a show about 2 hours away, and I had to have somebody with janitor keys. Like a big set of keys helped me get into my car one time. I had a convertible and I left my phone in the car, and I had gone to my car to give said fiance a call. And there was like no reception where we were. So this guy had to dig out his big janitor work keys and try each one. Like, was it this one? No, nope, that one doesn't work. Let's try this one. No, nope, that one doesn't work. So lots of good times. I remember we played Lock 6. Jonathan, yes. That might have been one of the first shows you came to. That was down
it was.
Butler? Not Butler.
No,
Beaver.
Okay.
Yeah, Beaver, yeah. Well, not Beaver. Beaver. Yeah.
Beaver, Pennsylvania. And, right on the Ohio River.
And you were replacing Dan at the time, who has also since left us. Dan Morgan. And man, he was a good time. He had a joke for everything, and I miss him dearly too.
Summer we booked Lock 6 every Thursday. And so, and the load in was terrible because you had to go down a whole set of concrete steps because it used to be a lock. I mean, we were standing around to the river and people would pull up in their boats, and that's real fun, but it was not the best load in. But we played every Thursday, and over the course of the summer, I think I was the only one that made every single gig. We had two or three singers, two or three guitar players, a couple of different horn players, a couple of different drummers. And, but we were there every Thursday.
What I remember about that gig is I hitched a ride with Dale because it was like the first time I'd ever played with the band. I just watched him drink out of this vodka bottle all night. And then I get back in the van with him, and he's like zooming up 376, probably at, I don't know what, 75 or 80 miles an hour. At least it felt like that. And I was like,
to get home. Yeah.
I was just like, this guy's a professional.
Don, we've talked about that so many times where you were like, is he drunk or what?
Yeah, I was like, really hold his liquor.
Oh, see, now we're public and my cover's blown.
Then I had to wake up in the next morning, I think at 4:30 or 5, and go to work.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of gigs where I've done that, stayed out till 1 or 2 in the morning, and then get back up and go to work.
You used to be able to do that. Now don't you feel older? And
it's tougher, boy.
Yeah. It's getting harder, unfortunately. Yeah.
We would go out to the clubs to see you guys and then, go to Denny's or Perkins later and get home at 4 or 5 in the morning and go to work, and you thought nothing of it. Now it's like, you want your jammies on.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, sometimes it feels like I need a day just to recover from the gigs.
I'm starting to feel that way. The age of the toll of 30 years, a day off, the day after a gig is not going to be out landscaping or anything,
Well, for a time when I was playing in the band, I was also catering.
Oh, geez.
And there were times that we would have a Friday evening gig and a Saturday evening gig, and I would have food to prepare for both Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And there were weekends that I got a total of 3 hours sleep. A lot of that laying on the counter down in the kitchen while I was baking bread. They were not real restful times, but we
things we do for love music.
I was a college student and probably working three jobs on top of playing with the band. And I remember one time we had six shows in 1 week in like June or July. Six shows. And some of them were park gigs, which they were relatively short. And some of them were like up a creek in Howland. And those are 4 hour shows, or like a wedding on a Friday or a Saturday, maybe in Akron or Youngstown or Cleveland. And you're traveling a great distance for those. And that's the next day I got to get up and go to work or go to class. And then I got to work a shift and then I got to go to a show.
Yep.
I think one of the great things about this band is how eclectic it is. Bill was just saying he used to be a caterer. Dale worked in IT.
Yep.
IT.
Electrician.
Electrician. And I'm the only like musician. I'm the only yeah, I guess. No, we're all musicians, but it's just so fun because even in our own rights as musicians, we're so eclectic. If I want to know anything about Motown, I'd go to Dale. If I want to know anything about 70s or 80s rock, I would probably go to Jonathan. If I wanted to know anything about anything, I would probably go to Bill. Bill just knows everything. And I think that's something I
really... I paid him to say that.
No, it's just really cool. And now we have... We have a new lead singer, Annabelle, who is 20 or 21. I can't remember. But she brings in a new youthful energy that kind of reminds us, oh, yeah, there's stuff on the radio today.
Yeah, so, right, yeah. And we say, let's do this song. And she's, I never heard that song before.
Hey, that was me 10 years ago.
Yes, yep. It was.
Only I had music in front of me. I could go, okay, well, I could just say, read this music. She can't. There's no music.
Yeah, but when you're the lead singer, you got to know the song. That's no way around it.
So, which brings to a point, who picks the music? How do you guys agree on the music?
Mm.
How do we do that?
How do you do that? Because you could go from Chicago to Aretha Franklin.
Circle of Death.
I mean, you're all over. It's amazing.
I don't know. With Annabelle, our new singer, there are, you know, she brought, you know, obviously the singer is a... important factor, but everybody, I don't know, we want to do some Chicago, so we try some Chicago, and we say, oh, let's do another Chicago song, or we've been having good luck with 80s rock and roll and putting the horns on the guitar riffs, like You Shook Me All Night Long, and we say, oh, that sounds pretty good, people like, let's try Pour Some Sugar on Me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, what do you guys, where do we get songs from? What do you think, Leo, how do we get songs from?
For me, I wanted to sing songs that I really enjoyed as a vocalist, but then it was about entertaining the crowd and what can we do that's different that people, a song that people like, but there are no other cover bands doing something like what we're doing because we have a 9-piece horn band. How can we make something different? I remember for a time when we had Jeff Feuerwerker singing and playing piano, he was singing two different Tayo Cruz songs. Who has heard of Tayo Cruz since then, you know? And we did Maroon 5 and we put horns to it. And I wanted to do Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys and put horns on it. And we did do Hit Me Baby One More Time, which I think went over really well. But that was towards the end of my tenure with the band, so I don't think we went on with that. But then John and I went on to do Sparky Lark, an acoustic duo. And we did that one acoustically. And we carried over a few other songs that we had done in Guys Without Ties, stuff that was fun to do that we thought, now this might be interesting or different to do toned down. So for a while it was like, what song can we take and add horns to that would be really interesting? And I think my favorite one that we ever did was Bad Romance by Lady Gaga, and DJ had arranged that, and that was super fun. To this day, I still love that arrangement.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Always like Come On Eileen. That was a fun one.
Yeah. You did that.
I'm trying to think what else did we do that we put horns on? A lot of Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi.
Just about everything, because the horn section doesn't get too many rests during the night.
Yeah, I know.
That's how we do Wonderful Tonight.
Yeah.
That's the song Wonderful the horns get Tonight's off.
Always a good
we
one.
We play that.
Hey, a trombone solo would probably sound pretty good on Wonderful Tonight. And DJ, I dare you to try it at the next show.
You know what? Fine. Gotta
fight Tyler for the solo there.
I love
In Sweet fact, I won't tell Tyler either. Tyler, if you're watching this, cut off. No. The next time we play it, Tyler will get ready for his solo. move over.
Just whip him in the face with the trombone. Scare the crap out of him. It's plastic, right? It won't hurt him.
Not anymore.
No, he retired the plastic trombone. Retired the
people. I retired.
You became a brass hole again.
Mm. Yeah. part of the hard drinking horns.
Horn section, yes.
Yeah. I was I recently saw Paul McCartney and Baltimore, actually, and he had a horn section, and the name of his horn section was the Hard Thinking Horns.
Ah, we're close, man. We're close.
That lets us out right there. We try not to do that.
That's an interesting. So Paul McCartney, I think, you know, heard us at some point say Hard Drinking Horns. It's like, oh, I like that.
Big influence.
That is their official name, the Hard Drinking Horns.
And actually, we're telling you all these stories about people being drunk at our gigs and things, and you know, drinking from the vodka bottle. And I think we're giving the wrong message to all the viewers. We are actually quite a conservative band as far as, you know, consumption of that stuff goes.
Yeah,
we're not.
There have been slip ups at times, but nothing.
Yeah, like when we get a high school age a trombone player and they buy him a beer, you know.
Well, we didn't realize was a high school kid.
We didn't tell him. He didn't offer to get carded or nothing. No. You know?
I mean, you don't have to drink to enjoy the band.
No, right.
Yeah.
I was sometimes not there for that. I can't take credit for that.
No, you weren't. That's right.
Though there was the time. This was probably my first year in the band, and I can't remember where we were. We were playing on a flatbed.
I know where we were.
I have no idea where we were. I'm not surprised
you don't remember.
I have no idea where you were.
It was some Steubenville? Sort of. What's that?
Was that in Steubenville?
No.
This was in Mineral Ridge.
Yeah.
So, and the people who were there just kept on throwing tequila shots onto the flatbed that wasn't a stage. It was like a flatbed for hay bales.
Okay.
And somehow all of those shots just got funneled to me. And I was recently 21. I didn't know any better. And so it wasn't until the end of the gig where I get to the edge of the quote stage and I realize, oh, I can't get down from here. And Bill had to drive my car home.
Luckily, we didn't give him the keys either.
Yeah, we didn't give him the keys. We drove him home. And
I think that was probably the worst I've ever been at, by far. But other than that, yeah, we're pretty conservative. We look like we drink more than we do.
Yeah, that's the part. You got to
play
the part. That's why I keep a bottle on the stage. And
yeah, I mean, we're playing at bars. If we're not selling the alcohol, you know, what are we
doing?
Not
going to get called back, right?
Having fun, making people
remember
have
a day
fun.
Last two when you were drinking hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah, we did a lot of YSU tailgate parties, and a bunch of them were really, really cold, and we'd go get hot chocolate or tea or something, and Cecilia would always bring some kind of sweet treat for everybody as well. I was severely hungover for one on Halloween we did. Severely hungover. I had a party. My apartment complex, I lived in Hubbard, and we like rented the little house out front of the apartment complex, and the carpet there was soaking wet from beer pong and flip cup, and I paid a few fees for that. But I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning in said party room, and the manager of the complex opened up the door and went, "You guys slept here? You can't sleep here." And I looked at the clock and I was like, oh man, I'm about to be late for a Guys Without Ties tailgate. So I like changed out my Halloween costume really fast, put on a sweatshirt with a hood, and hightailed it over to the stadium. And I just remember I wore that hood for half of the morning, and I was like, I just remember singing like until I got up enough from. So I didn't get drunk at the show. I showed up already had been drunk at the show. I mean, not drunk in the morning, but it was a rough one. I was in college at the time, so I was feeling a little bit of that DJ energy there.
So Cecilia texted me to tell the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame story. So I had a friend who was teaching music production classes at TCTC, and his professional teaching association group had a party, and they rented the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So he called me up and said, "Hey, would your band like to play for our party?" I said, "At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Sure, we'd love to do it." So we go up, and we're playing the show, and there's people, you know, it's a private party. So they're walking around talking to each other and everything. And on the second set, I'll let Bill finish the story. Well, I'll set the scene. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame lobby has a three-story escalator, and the floor we were on was in the middle floor.
Mm-hmm. And the second set was going to start out with Soul Man, Sam and Dave's old song. And on that, traditionally, the horns have taken off the stage and have wandered through the audience. And it gets people's attention, especially when they get hit by a trombone slide or whatever. We've had a lot of fun with that song, but we decided, let's do something special. And the horns being, we were on the break at the time, we went down to the bottom of the steps, and the song starts with a guitar and a bass intro, and then the horns come in after about 8 bars. So we timed our entrance onto the escalator. So as soon as the horns came in with the horn call, we were in view of the people, and they just ate it up like crazy. It was a really marvelous.
We're playing a song, and all of a sudden they're coming up the stairs, and when they're level with the people, they start their riff, and then they go up to the third floor.
That is neat.
And then they had to run back down to the second floor
to get back to the stage.
It is fun when you guys circulate through a crowd in the bar, you know, trying to watch you guys run back to the stage.
Yeah.
To get there in time to do Dance for the Music, because we usually follow Soul Man with Dance for the Music, and once in a while it gets a little close.
Most of the time people like it, though.
Yeah, they do.
It's just gotten a little harder to see in some places. Some places just get really dark.
Yeah.
No, you're just getting older now, DJ.
So you guys still had some. We still have our pages.
Well, yeah, plenty of people here.
Plenty of people to talk
stories
about.
and people. Yeah. I think we left off on Brian Ullman.
Brian Ullman, yeah, he's a good trombone player, local guy, and he's filled in with us a couple of times. And
I think all of these trombone players are YSU people, except for Jeannie, and I guess Steve technically counted as, I don't know.
Who's this Tony Colella's character?
He doesn't remember Tony.
Yeah, my brother, he's in this ragtag group currently called the U.S. Army Field Band, and they're currently on. Actually, they're on tour. I think they're on their Midwest tour right now. And then in August, they're going to Scotland, of all places, to play the tattoo show. So he's probably not that he's my brother or anything, but he's probably one of the best trombone players in the country. And the fact that we can put him on this list.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Well, he and down on trumpet, Mike Barquette as well. Mike is in a Navy band now.
In Naples, I believe.
I believe so, yeah.
So that's we're talking about the song Soul Man, where the horns walk around. That's always been our thing. We bring in a fill-in guy, and at the second set, we say, "Oh, by the way, you're going to start the song out in the audience. Hope you memorized it."
Yeah, that's.
And they all do pretty good because it's not that real tough song.
Got Lou Carbone.
Yeah, we had Lou Carbone played a couple gigs with us. We were up in Sandusky. Yeah, he was Bill and I and Lou were in a band when we were in high school together. He played. He lives up in up near Sandusky. We played a gig up there, and so we had him sit in with us up there. And then I think we had him another gig somewhere. He came down here.
We were supposed to. I think it was canceled.
Maybe though. It was. So who else do we have?
Steve Darwimple.
Steve Darwimple. Yeah, he's.
Steve was. He was like 6'13".
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really tall guy. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. good player.
Steve Spencer and Colton Randall are both YSU guys, and they can both sing. So that's always DJ does a lot of our singing. So it's not like when he leaves, we just get a trombone player. Then we add his, then we bring Jonathan back to fill in DJ's vocals and add a second guitar, which is what we did last week. And that was.
I love Colton. I hope he's doing well.
Colton, I just talked to him the other day. He is super busy. He's in a duo with his brother. He's doing all sorts of stuff. He's incredibly talented guy. I love him.
He's a good guy.
I always get sad because there's only one gig where I ever actually got to play with Colton, because usually he's subbing for me. So whenever he's there, I'm not. But it's,
that was the campground, wasn't it?
It was the campground. Yeah,
that was a good gig.
That was. There was some guys standing behind a keyboard pretending to play.
I thought you did pretty good, actually. I was
right. So that we're at the holiday campland in Andover, and we had DJ switch to keyboard, and Jonathan was playing guitar with us, and we have this incredible crowd. Everybody was dancing, having a great time. We didn't realize that when we took our break, they would draw the 50-50 raffle. And all the people who didn't win left.
So all of a sudden,
our crowd goes down by half. You know?
We're thinking all these people are there having a good time, enjoying the music. They do the 50-50. All right.
But then it started raining like torrentially.
Oh, yeah.
And then everybody came back in.
It always rains when we're up there.
That was the first time I played up there. So
they have a very nice facility at Holiday Camplands. And they have a lot of campers up there, too.
John Blinsky.
He's the current
YSU guy.
YSU student.
They give him all the solos in the jazz bands.
Yeah, really talented kid. He's working over at the Music and Arts.
Was that who played last or a couple weekends ago? Okay.
Yeah, he was at he was in good. Akron.
So you guys still pull from some of these people?
Oh yeah.
Joe Camarada.
Joe filled in on trumpet. He was a Girard band director for a while.
He was my music teacher in elementary school.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He only played a couple.
You too?
Joe's a great guy.
Oh, he is. He's a super guy.
For a little while, I saw him every Christmas and Easter because I would play church gigs with him. Just a great guy. He still lives in Girard.
Mm-hmm.
He's invited me over for wine a couple times. Just a great guy. I love him.
Gary Watson?
Yeah. Now, at one time, Bill and I played in a 17-piece big band, the Don Burns Orchestra. As you think keeping our band together is tough, you ought to try keeping a 17-piece band together. But I would use to call... When I needed someone, I'd work my way down the section, you know, and call them up. Mm-hmm. So we would call Gary, and Gary played one gig with us, and he thought rock and roll was a little too loud for his taste. So.
Thanks, Gary.
Good player. Great
he's good.
Player.
He does a lot of military.
He's now acting as the chaplain for the Honor Guard for military.
American Legion Honor Guard. Yeah, he's a chaplain, so he plays taps a lot for them.
Like Barquette.
I don't know, Mark.
We just talked about him. He's in the Navy band.
Okay.
I believe he got his master. He got his master's. Did he get his doctorate yet? In performance?
These guys are very talented people. And we say, hey, you want to come out to a bar and play rock and roll? And they go, sure.
Mike Barquette deserved a doctorate in performance when he was in high school. He was so fantastic.
He is a good
player all the way back then. He's amazing now.
Joe Yaksich
played with the band.
Yeah, we did an anniversary. It was Arby's 50th anniversary or something, and their number one store was in Boardman, so they wanted us to play in the parking lot to celebrate the number one opening of the first Arby's. And you were with us, weren't you?
No.
What I do remember is
thinking of somebody coming up and saying, sir, this is an Arby's.
Sorry. We had a complete pickup horn section, three guys, two of which had played with us before, but that's where Joe played trumpet for that gig.
Yeah, I don't remember because I wasn't there either.
You weren't there. Yeah, but Mike Alexa on sax kept the band together. And I don't remember who was trombone that night, but I remember it was... Complete pickup horn section, and you know, it still sounded pretty good.
That's one thing that's amazing about this band is you can have like a completely different group from night to night, and somehow it all works usually.
I think that says something about this area because
and
this
Mike
this
Alexa area, was my saxophone at Hummer Music.
Yeah, your sax teacher. Right. Yeah, yes, Leah would play sax with us too. That was.
Oh, sorry, I was cutting out a little bit, but yeah, when I took sax lessons at Hubbard Music, Alexa was my saxophone teacher, and then I played in the band with him later a bunch of times, and that was fun.
Yeah, Mike is our first call sax fill-in, so we are fortunate, his misfortune is our fortune because he's not playing enough right now, and when we call him, he's usually available.
That's great.
So that works real good for us.
Now that we publicly announced that.
Yeah, call Mike. Call Mike, and he's available. He'll play for you.
No, all of these guys have been good for
us. Yeah, everybody's been good. Ron, I think, didn't Ron play Cleveland? We were up at Cleveland at Quaker Steak or something.
Again?
Yeah. I thought that was the one he did. Yeah, well, he filled in for you. So
I have the misfortune, like DJ said, of not being able to play with these fill-in guys, who I would love to more because they're all great guys and great players, and I don't get to play with them. So
Ian Tice.
Ian Thies.
Yeah,
what's Ian doing now?
Well, he filled in with us last summer when Bill was recovering.
Yeah, last I checked, he was Virginia. Yeah. He's a great guy. I gotta give him a call.
He's a young
actually.
Kid, isn't he?
Yeah. He's about my age.
And then it was.
I remember playing with him. He was. It's fun when you.
It was
bring,
that wedding. It was a backyard wedding we did in Poland.
Oh, yeah. It is interesting when you get younger people in the band. But they have a lot of enthusiasm, you know, and it kind of makes you excited again too, you know.
Yeah, they do things a little differently and. Kind of if we have all things being equal, we would tend to skew a little younger if we could, but there's always a variety of factors, and it's who's available and who can do. But we enjoy having, you know, like you said, younger players get a little more energy, a little more different, you know, try this song, try that song, things we haven't.
Plus, like I said, they do something a little different. You hear the song a little different. You're like, oh,
right. Right, yeah.
On the other hand, the older players know most of our songs. You don't have to worry about much.
I can never remember the new keyboard player's name. It's terrible.
Ours?
Yeah.
Andy Erb.
Andy.
Yeah, he played Uptown Funk one night. He played the clav.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's doing it anymore, but he did it one night. It was really awesome. He gave the song a whole 70s feel.
Yeah.
And I probably did tell him it was really awesome, but I should have.
Makes it new again. Yeah.
Andy brings a computer with him to control the patches and stuff he uses on his keyboard.
Okay.
And on occasion, it doesn't do what he thinks it's going to do. So maybe he had the wrong patch that day.
Maybe. It was awesome.
Exciting thing was our last gig when he started the song in the wrong key.
Yeah,
the piano starts the song.
That was fantastic when he starts Don't Stop Believing. It's supposed to be an E. And he is playing in E on his keyboard, but the computer's transposing him to D.
Oh.
And so I still remember thinking, is Dale's bass really out of tune? Like, and then I started playing a couple notes. Right.
I'm trying to tune while I'm playing.
By the time we all realized that we were, okay, now we have to transpose the entire tune down a step.
Didn't take us long to get into it, though.
No, it took us maybe halfway into the first verse.
So that's what happens when the piano starts a song. Had we all been together, he would have known straight away that he was wrong.
I was going to say, when his equipment is working right, that's really good.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds, yeah. Yes.
You guys cover each other's mistakes then?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I was just talking to a bunch of band parents came to our last gig. And I was talking to one of the band parents a couple days later, and he was just like, yeah, you guys were solid. It was like you guys were perfect. There were no mistakes. And I was like, Leah laughs because she knows there's plenty of mistakes. It's just we're hoping no one in the audience
we just don't acknowledge them.
That's what live music is, though.
Yeah.
It's very rare that we've actually had to stop a song.
No, we've never had a real train wreck. We kind of got derailed a little.
We did.
Once. I think once in the last 10 years.
Shut Up and Dance when we were doing for the first time.
The first time we tried that song.
Three different people started it in three different keys.
Yeah,
We said, hey, time out on that one. So
but I mean, one time.
But that was it.
And one time in 30 years. Yeah. I think that's
not too bad.
That's not too bad.
Usually you just turn around and yell across the stage and nobody can hear you anyway because the stage sounds too loud. Hey.
Amen to that.
Still have like pages of names to get just, through, but just a couple. We're running out of time.
I just want to mention our founding guitar player was Russ Parrish.
Okay.
And he had an excellent voice as well as being an excellent guitar player. Mm-hmm. And we did snatch him from the Don Burns Glenn Miller Big Band. And he, when we started, we didn't need a keyboard. He was that good of a player.
Oh, wow.
So we were seven piece. And then we added a keys later and all that. And he had played with us, and then his work changed, and that's when he had to leave us, or was working out of town or something like that.
Yeah.
One night we were playing in Lake Milton, and he had he collapsed at work, and they took him to the hospital on Friday, and that night he had a stroke. And so we're playing, and his wife is calling our wives in the audience, and we're going back and forth on this. So we finished up the gig and we packed everything and went home. And then Cecilia and I and our drummer Jim Bickley turned around and drove up Cleveland Clinic, and he was laying there and he just never recovered. And it was a sad loss.
Easter weekend.
Yep. Easter night. Yep. Easter Saturday. But Russ was a great member of the band. He was just best, really good guitar player, singer, and he was a electrical engineer. He fixed stuff.
Oh,
so
geez.
We blew up an amp, he'd fix it, you know?
I'm playing as Les Paul.
He's a great guy.
You got his Les Paul?
I have his Les Paul, and I usually play it. I usually bring it to every gig, and I actually have one of his amps, too.
Okay.
That I've been using lately, so.
Good.
I guess his equipment's still with the band.
And I have his other guitar. So,
yeah, well, that's a nice guitar.
Yeah.
That's a Strat, right?
A Strat.
Any advice? I mean, you guys have been around 30 years. So any advice to bands that are still currently together?
We're still figuring it out.
Get along with each other, more or less.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, you're playing that part wrong or whatever. You know, it's like, hey, try this instead, you know, or just getting along. And as they say, 80% of life is showing up, but he shows up, because there's plenty of bands where someone doesn't come to practice, or someone doesn't come to the gig, or something like that. So all of our people are committed, and they come to the rehearsals, they come to the gigs. And,
I mean, for eight people, this band is relatively drama-free.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True.
I've been in bands with three or four people, and it can get really ugly.
Yeah,
so
that's cat scratching.
Check your ego at the door and just enjoy yourself.
Right.
Life's way too short to make a big deal over playing music that you're supposed to be enjoying.
If someone offers you shots of tequila on stage, pass.
Moderation.
Wait until the break.
Jello shots at backyard weddings are similar to that.
Yeah.
I have to echo Jonathan's sentiments that I felt that everyone in the band was a good friend, and I've been in a lot of bands before I was with guys and since I've been with guys. And the lessons that I learned in being in Guys Without Ties was you can be friends with everybody and you can have a great time and it can be drama free. And even after I left the group, there still was no problems. And I still consider these guys friends and family. And I can't wait to hug them every time I see them. And I still look forward to playing shows with my friends again, when you can play with people that you love hanging out with and spending time with and making music with, that makes it so much better. So anybody out there who is playing in a band or has played in a band with somebody that maybe you don't get along that well with, that makes it less fun for sure. I'm not saying leave the band or anything or kick them out or anything like that, but it definitely is a lot more fun when you're playing with your friends.
Yeah, I can't remember how long ago it was. I told Dale, well, you know, when it stops being fun, you know, I'll find someone else. Yeah. It hasn't stopped being fun. So I'm still here.
Yep.
I mean, in between the breaks, we usually grab a beer and we start talking, and then I'm like, oh, we got to play again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns into social hour there for a little
years,
bit.
Come see us August 21st at Double Bogey Southern Park Mall. First show at 2, and show probably at 4 or something like that, about 90 minutes. So, Lee, if you're not booked, come on in on the 21st.
I'm free, and it's before school starts, too. I'm a teacher now, like DJ, so it's a great day to come in, and I'm excited.
Awesome. Excellent.
And I want to thank all you guys for coming in and talking about, you know, your longevity.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, we can talk for hours.
All right. Until next time with Justine Thomas, let's talk. We're out.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing.